it's the leaving it behind. I was just really encouraged, like I never have been, thinking about death. I mean, there's been times that thinking about it and in a sense, it's something that we look forward to, even though we don't, because life comes from Christ. But man, it's the doorway into the presence of the one who is life. I was just really, really encouraged in a way that I don't think I ever really have been before. Just reading about, looking at that, thinking about it, meditating on it. And I get these emails that I get through the CD Outreach, Christian Voice Outreach. It's kind of like the I'll Be Honest, where people write in. There's been just so many that write in that are going through losing a loved one, the death of a loved one, and people just distraught, angry, feeling abandoned, feeling like there's no hope, feeling like there's no purpose, there's nothing left to live for, just all manner of things. And trying to be compassionate and understanding, but also I usually just mention something about the hope that there is in Christ and leave it to them if they want to discuss it further. Such a different view from the lost and from the Christian that Paul tells us we mourn like, but not like those who don't have hope. When someone, a loved one in the Lord dies, we're sorrowful simply because we're without them, but we're not sorrowful for them. And we know that we will join them again. But who else? I saw Stephen, do you have your hand?
Yeah, I hope you can see. Huh? I hope
you can see. Yeah. You want to stand up and come
up here now? just as we were singing In Christ Alone, I just, with the message from Sunday, like the last part of it, of just, we're not saved by works, we're saved by faith. And you know, maybe others in here can relate, but I know for myself, more recently, I don't know, the verses that's been coming to mind, show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith with works. And it seems like I always put myself under the law. I always want to judge myself, where I'm at. I know myself, I know my thoughts, and it just brings me down, and just hearing that, and that's not even the first time you've mentioned that. You've been mentioning it. Singing In Christ Alone, the Lord just reminded me how far I've come. And I think it's good to look back on. I've gotten counsel like that before, to where I'm struggling with my children, I'm trying to love them, I'm trying to correct them, and before there wasn't no struggle there. Before it was, trying to be cool with them, and there's just so much. I'm so much different now. The Lord has done so much. He's changed me so much, and I just thank the Lord that He surrounded me with the church to lift up. And I'm coming in here and I'm thinking about myself and wanting to put myself in time out, and then just hearing brethren talk and just being encouraged by that. I just encourage, like the Lord just showing me, like, it's by faith. It's not by anything that I've done, and I can't do anything to secure it. I can't do anything to bring it about. It's what he's done. He's bringing it to completion. I have to believe him, and I have to believe that. And man, that is so, I mean, that is, you know, the Lord says, take my burden, it's light. Mm-hmm. And it's so freeing. It's so, just to have that, you know, I don't have to do this. The Lord will do this. Yet not I, but Christ through me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just thank the Lord for that. Just always reminding, you know, always being just there and helping to continue and not to look at myself.
It's helpful to remember that James is just not talking about someone that is weak or struggling in the faith. It's talking about someone that has an empty profession. They have a profession by profession only, and there has not been any change in them. And that's James's argument. You say you have faith, show it to me. Where's the evidence? Show it to me. You know, how are you going to show it to me without works? I'll show you my faith by my works. It'll be evident. Our faith will be evident by a changed life, by a life of ongoing and constant repentance and faith and looking to Christ. But when we look to ourselves to find good works as proof of my salvation, that means that work is what I'm looking to. I'm not Christ. I'm looking to my righteousness. And if I can find some of my righteousness and that gives me comfort, that's not faith. That's not faith. Faith says, I don't have anything to offer. Where's the evidence of my... I'm talking about personally. I'm not talking about what we see in each other. I'm talking about me before the Lord. Me personally. Where is my proof of faith? Christ crucified, dead, buried, and risen, and seated at the right hand of God. That's the evidence of my faith before God. Now, we see... All we can see is externals for each other. All we can see is works on each other. That's all that's there as the evidence. But how many people have been full of all sorts and all manner of good deeds and righteousness and all that, only for years later to fall away? That means they never had that testimony between them and the Lord that all I have is Christ. Yeah. Praise the Lord for the gospel. Amen. Who else? Jim?
Yeah, who said it's pretty popular. Or a shepherd, a good shepherd, he has to smell like a sheep. Mm-hmm. What that means, I was thinking that when we meet like this, or even when we have our fellowship meals, we have the big fellowships, we get together and we have the same chit-chat, we have the same conversations, and maybe spiritual or not. But I was thinking, Patrick and them, when we had the fellowship at our house the other night, after everybody left, they had still stayed there. And I got to know more about them in 15 minutes I hadn't known the last few months they've been here, quite honestly.
Yeah.
And then we went out with Bert and Raquel, you know, for lunch afterwards, because we wanted to have tears. And just, you know, it's a great time to get to know each other, to learn more about each other, and look for opportunities to serve each other and know what to pray for. And quite honestly, I was talking to Ryan the other day, it's like, you know, I don't even know the middle kid's name of Gable's divorce. So, what's the name of it? Gable Jr.'s that can happen if we don't take time to go and be with the sheep and be part of the sheep. And I just think you do a good job of getting with the sheep, knowing like sheep. And I think that's a gift and that's a blessing of the Lord, but I think we all need to be there and do that. And the other way we're going to be able to do that is this fellowship, men's fellowship. Mm. I don't call it the men's retreat because I don't retreat. But the fellowship is a great opportunity for us. And, you know, we say, look, you need to fellowship with everybody else, and that's true. But you need to find you a little bit of time to fellowship with somebody from the church if you haven't got time to know what's going on. So I wanted to invoke that. And maybe that's out there serving, like you said, washing dishes, or cooking cheesesteak, or whatever it is. Need to smell like shit.
Mm-hmm. Allie, did you have one?
I got to talk to my mom for a while today, and probably the longest phone call I've had with her for a long time, and she shared a lot of her concerns and her plans for the future and different things, but the Lord gave me opportunities to share some scripture with her to try to encourage her down. And anyway, she ended up asking me to call her every week to give her scripture. She professes.
I don't know if she says or not. But I just be checked
for yeah.
Yeah, she's a junior. Sorry? See that paper?
Yeah, so my sister and I, we often talk about this railway struggle that she has. I'm not sure where she's at spiritually, but I guess just her responses to this trial can be a little bit discouraging. But I found the humility book on the Apple book for 99 cents, and so I recommended it to her because it was very relevant for the struggle. And she got it and she read it and she was really encouraged. She was even like sharing screenshots of it in the group chat that we're in. So I was really encouraged by that. And also the same weekend that that John got laid off, we got like a surprise check. It's supposed to be a regular thing from my dad. Like, we haven't seen anything for a long time, and then the same weekend we got laid off, it was even more than it was supposed to be. So
book?
Yeah. I keep getting reminded every time, because I keep looking through new recipes or different recipes. I have my meal and I pray, but I keep getting reminded every time that it's the Lord that provides us. We don't provide anything for ourselves. We're completely dependent on God for everything. And I'm so grateful for that. Because when we think we have strength, we don't know how we truly are in the eyes of the Lord. And He keeps manifesting the realization that we can completely trust God with everything. Because it's all of Him.
Yeah, I had a good reminder of that the other day, taking the trash out. Titus saw me, and so he had to help. So he came over and grabbed hold of the bag and walked it out, and that's just the perfect picture of us with the Lord. He's carrying it, and we just put a hand on it. We're helping. But it's true. It's true. Every good thing comes from the Lord. It's a gift. We got to remember everything, everyone, every single person in the world, everything they have comes from the Lord. Every good thing, not just for the Christian, every good thing comes from God. He causes the rain to fall and the sun to shine and people's crops to grow. Anyone else?
I wanted to share something too. Yeah, praise the Lord for providing. But I wanted to just encourage, and I know there are some that are, but to pray, to continue praying for the evangelism under the bridge. The gospel is going out, mm-hmm. and men are listening. They're hearing. Some ask questions. There's some that try to stir the point, try to take away that seed. There's somebody down there, you know, he's just stirring division. But yeah, they're hearing, and pray for those who go for wisdom to say the right things at the right time. But even if we don't, even when we're talking with the children about the gospel and how simple, how basic we make it, how, you know, bringing it down to a kindergarten level and explaining the gospel, sometimes that's what happens there. Some of them, they don't know what sin is, mm-hmm. but they're hearing the good news, but none of us can save them. Only the Lord can. And just continue to pray for those who go and for them that the Lord would save. Because it's so encouraging sometimes. A lot of times it's so encouraging coming back. Just being hopeful. You know, Lord, is this it? Is this the one that you would save? Because they're receiving it with smiles, with tears. And we don't want to be discouraged that we don't see them come in. You know, I'm going to go this time, I'm going to go to church, I'm going to, you know, this, this, and that. And we don't want to be discouraged that they don't, because it's not about bringing them into this church. It's not about seeing them saved today, but that the Lord would save them. Some men right now are in jail. One man that we talked to, he was telling us they let him out on accident. And you know, we were talking with him, and he was just in tears, and he even had a letter in his paper about a verse that he read while he was locked up, and he wrote it to his mom, and he was just crying, shaking as he was reading the scripture, and we were able to tell him the true meaning of that and share the gospel, and lo and behold, the sheriff pulls up and arrests him and takes him back to jail. Yeah, so, and he's going to turn himself in, but he heard, though, and a lot of them, they hear, a lot of them already know, and they hear again, but pray that they truly would hear and be saved.
Anyone else? Did anyone have a question?
No.
Ready for Q&A?
I sent you for it.
Did you?
Yeah. About 2 hours ago.
I'll be honest, I don't pay a whole lot of attention to this.
All week.
Okay. So when we evangelize and we come across people who might be in a church we know are not sound in doctrine and are being taught a different gospel, what should our response be? How do we biblically approach this? So you're talking about I'll give an example. When the guy has come up to you selling bread, was banana nut bread, banana bread, from
Rafa House,
and it's part of their ministry to sell bread. Not, I haven't figured that one out yet, but just ask them. How do you know the Lord? Because Rafa House teaches words. Every single individual that I've talked to, and I will take time to talk to them, because usually they'll talk. Sometimes they won't. Sometimes they'll, I gotta sell so many, I gotta get 30. But most of the time, they'll talk. Because it's their ministry, so that's how they present it, and they're kind of presenting the Lord to you, and at least a wide open door for it. You tell me, what do you do? You're talking to someone, they go to another church, and you know, it's not that you don't know what the church teaches, but you know that they don't have the gospel. What do?
Share the truth.
Yeah. There's no need to attack the church. You just present them with the truth. I'm not saying don't mention something specific if you know about the church, but don't attack it, because that's not what's needed. Present them with the truth. And the best way to know what they believe, because so many people go to churches that they don't have a clue what the church teaches. There's tons of Roman Catholics couldn't tell you a thing about the doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church. They were just born into it. They're Catholic. They're going to die Catholic. They're always going to be Catholic. They go to Mass. And that's about the extent of their knowledge. Yeah, don't assume that Jehovah's Witness necessarily believe, especially if there's someone newer. Now, they are usually fairly well indoctrinated, but some of the new people to it aren't, or they've been lied to, because they will flat out lie. That's how they snare so many religious people, especially Southern Baptists, becoming a part of them. They'll just straight up lie to get them in. Yeah, proclaim the truth. And that's where listening becomes so valuable. Asking questions. When someone says, well, Christ died for my sins, don't assume that they know what that means. Because the vast majority of people in evangelical churches can't tell you what that means. They can repeat the words, but they don't know what it means. They don't know how Christ dying actually affects their salvation. They just know Christ died for my sins. But they don't know what that means. So when people say something, ask them, what does it mean? What does that mean? How do you know you're a Christian? Well, I believe in Jesus. He died for my sins. Okay. Can you tell me more? How did Jesus dying, how does that affect your sin? And just let them explain. Let them talk. Not to trap them, to know what truth to tell them. but you don't want to dress things that aren't necessary. Find, listen, and find out. That's what Jesus did with the woman at the well, even though he initiated it. Hey, go call your husband. I don't have a husband. You've had this many, and he engaged her in, as a means to an open door. Anyone else? Well, as far as that, how do you engage someone? You want to avoid attacking the church, their church, but you don't want to avoid soft peddling the truth or the error. Remember Galatians, if anyone brings another gospel, let him be accursed. You know what I mean? Don't attack the church. I mean, don't spend your time pointing out, well, this, your church believes this and your church believes that. No. Well, Scripture says that if anyone has another gospel, he's accursed. He doesn't know the Lord. And you're saying that you're saved by your good deeds. But Scripture says it's not by works of righteousness that we have done. It's not by works that we're saved, but through faith. And you could take into all these different scriptures and attack the doctrine head on with truth. But you don't need to just attack the church, to discredit the church, to try and get them to come to our church. Don't need to do that.
Oh, so, because I remember evangelizing with somebody one time, and they were going to a church that I knew from experience wasn't speaking the truth. So I invited them to our church, and I remember that person is like, oh, you know, we don't, afterwards, not at the time, but like, you know, we don't want to steal any sheep, you know, we don't want to, you know, bring a wolf in here or anything like that. But what about inviting them to our church? You know, hey, you know, on Tuesday, you know, a lot of people meet on Wednesday, and on Tuesdays you want to come inviting people to church, even though they say they're, you know, I'm a member here or I go to this one. Because we, a lot of our family, they go to a certain church and, you know, sporadically. Not, I wouldn't call them members of that church.
Absolutely invite people to church. Yeah. Was I the one that said that?
No.
Okay, because it reminds me of the conversation that the person in question was actually a preacher.
Yeah, no, he wasn't a preacher.
So I was wondering if I was the one that said something about bringing wolves in, because there's a difference in someone lost.
Yeah,
by all means. When we've gone out back here, the majority of the time I look to people and talk, and I invite them to church. I tell them, hey, we're meeting over here. And that's what I use to see if they're interested, is inviting them to church and see if there's any response or if it's just kind of a, yeah, oh yeah, okay, we'll check it out, yeah.
Well, I understand about that, but they're in a church that you know isn't sound.
And they're a friend?
Yeah, friend, family.
They're a friend.
Even somebody just that you care for. Like, mm-hmm. You see people on the bridge, they're my friends.
Yeah.
Somebody.
I mean, you don't want to be overly forceful and be obnoxious. But,
just throw it out there and pass it.
Yeah, I mean, by all means, feel free to invite people to church, yeah. Anyone else have another question?
In Ezekiel, I noticed that the Lord had was addressing Ezekiel as Son of Man. I don't know if that's the first time I've read it in the Old Testament where he addresses someone as Son of Man. And I was wondering why.
Oh, was that it?
Ezekiel?
Multiple places, yeah. There's a whole bunch of one. The Lord talks to Ezekiel, he calls him Son of Man. him because he is a son of man. But I know it's not why Christ referred to himself as the Son of Man. That comes from Daniel when it talks about the Son of Man approaching the Ancient of Days, and to him was given a dominion. One like the Son of Man was coming, and he came up to the Ancient of Days, and he was presented before him, and to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all peoples and nations and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. That is, I believe, why Christ referred to himself as the Son of Man. It was a claim to him being the Messiah.
What was that in Daniel?
That's Daniel 7, 13 through 14. I don't know about Ezekiel why the Lord specifically refers to Ezekiel in that way. Has anyone else studied that?
No.
I don't really look at that. I mean, I know that he does. I've never really studied that specifically.
I remember reading it recently, Ezekiel, and it always seems when the Lord tells Ezekiel what to say, is when he calls him Son of Man. Mm-hmm. And I've always seen it like, I mean, he's a son of a man. yeah, he's a person, a son.
Yeah, it's unique to Ezekiel in the frequency of it and the regularity, mm-hmm. how the Lord just always addressing him, Son of Man, Son of Man, Son of Man, do this, say this.
And even what's interesting there, and I don't know, I haven't looked into it, but there's times when Son of Man is capitalized, and there's times when Son of Man is not capitalized. And I don't know what that means, I've noticed that. And even in chapter 21.
That means the translators interpreted.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, I haven't studied that out. Anyone else? Not, I've got a book recommendation. John?
It's kind of general. Were we still thinking about changing the name of the church?
I always think about it.
What was the name?
We're not pursuing anything.
No.
not actively. Not now.
But was it a Grace Bible Fellowship? Is that the one that you were leaning more towards?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Random question.
What I posted in there comes from this book right here.
The book club.
This has been updated. I have not read the updated one. It's The Church, Why Bother? By Jeffrey Johnson. I'm pretty sure I got this from the Fellowship Conference. Maybe not, because it doesn't have a little price written in the front of it.
I think we have that book. There's one of those on my list that I have not read.
The Nature, Purpose, and Function of the Local Church. It's a really good, little, easy, quick read. He's really addressing the question, why bother? So you can kind of get the direction he's coming from. People that just don't really commit to a church. They church hop. They say, well, I can worship God out in the nature, fishing, you know, just like I can in the church. So why do I need a church? It's really, that's kind of the nature of what he's addressing. But even if it's not that, just the things that he covers in here are just really, really, really helpful and beneficial about the church. He's got kind of intentionally relevant chapter titles. Wow, what nice facilities you have. Which has to do with... which has to do with the nature of the church. And church, why are we here? Which has to do with the purpose of the church. Culturally acceptable, I mean relevant. Which has to do with culture and the church. Programs, programs, programs. Which has to do with the activities of the church. Hey God, look at me worship. Obviously dealing with the worship. What worship is in the church. Church discipline, what's that?
Oh, wow.
The survey says, which has to do with the authority of the church. We need concession, not confessions, which has to do with doctrinal standards of the church. An appendix, commitment versus attendance, a church membership agreement. So he's definitely approaching it from the standpoint of official membership, but he also basically denounces that if you just have a name on a roll somewhere and you're not committed, you're not really a member of the church. You're not a member of good standing anyway, is probably how he would do it. It's been years since I read it. I just pulled it out earlier today, just as we've been kind of going over this on Tuesdays. And just highlighted some things under chapter 6, drive-through membership, which is membership of the local church. Let me just read some of the things. Going to church is not to be squeezed into the Christian's weekly schedule, but rather it is to be the principal activity and focal point of the Christian life. Entertainment, hobbies, work, and sometimes even family are secondary to the worship of God and the assembly of the saints. In other words, Christians are to rotate their schedules around the life of the church. I thought I was the only one harping on that. This is because the principal reason for going to church is not to become a better parent, spouse, worker, or citizen, but rather to worship God. Those who only go to church to gain coping skills with life problems have misunderstood the purpose of the church. Sure, church will help the Christian in all these areas of life, but the ultimate goal of the Christian is not self, work, or family, but God. Christians are to go to church to glorify God. And if God is to be the center of the Christian life and the center of the Christian family, then church is to be center of the Christian schedule. Yet sadly, this seems to be too extreme for many professing Christians. Even if they admit that worship is to take priority over every other activity of life, they still feel they can worship God just as well privately, apart from other Christians, in their own homes, or by going for a walk in the woods, as they can in any gathered assembly. I'm going to step on toes. When you involve your children in something that keeps them from church, you're teaching your children what's priority and what is of greatest importance. When you engage in things that keep you away from the time that this church gathers together, we as a body, and it's a regular activity. I'm not talking about those special things and, the things that keep you away. You're teaching your children what's of most importance and what you value more. Everything you do with your children is teaching. Everything. And it speaks volumes. It the individuality. This is secular culture, or I'm sorry, a secular culture of individualism. The individuality and personal freedom of postmodernism has won over today's Christianity. When church attendance is factored in, the peculiar flavor of church that fits one's own individual personality and particular set of desires must meet the match. The young and restless are looking for a church that is on the cutting edge. Senior citizens are looking for traditional worship. Parents are looking for a nursery. The youth are looking for cool activities. Singles, too, are looking for love. Viewing the church through the lens of self leads people to judge a church based on how well the church meets their personal expectations. Many churches have compounded the problem by catering to this type of individualism. That's why you have churches that limit age on membership. There used to be a church here. They're no longer doing it, so I won't mention their name, but there was a very popular church here in town that for years the kind of capped their membership age at about 35. They wouldn't refuse anyone to come, but they greatly discouraged them, or they greatly encouraged them to find another church. I called the pastor and talked to him. For a long time, like, probably 15 years ago, 10 years ago.
You mean no one older than 35?
Yeah. This is Jeffrey Johnson. Jeffrey Johnson. Churches become a place for people to get spiritual experience rather than a place for mutual accountability and biblical instruction. Churches become like a fast food restaurant. Drive in, get fed, drive out with no commitments and attachments. He talks a lot about accountability, and one of the great reasons that we are to assemble together with other believers is accountability. Not that you talk to someone and you get an accountability partner, not that type of deal. But just like what Jim was saying, we get to know each other and we love each other and we help and serve each other and we become accountable to each other, and the closer that people get, the more comfortable we get, and the more our true selves shine through, and the more we need accountability to one another, which is a good thing. It's not a thing to be avoided. Think about that. Because I know people do that. I don't want to get too committed because then people will find out who I really am. There's people that do that. That's scary. He talks a lot about that. So I've got a question for you. I guess we'll finish with my question. What if someone asked you, someone's looking for a church and they ask you, well, do you think I would be a good fit at your church? How would you answer them?
Are you Christian?
Yes. I'll play the part.
I would say
I know you don't know me very well, but do you think I'd be a good fit at your church?
Well, I would say, do you truly love the Lord with all of your heart and seek to serve Him with everything, and or for you, I mean, are you that's kind of my main question, because I mean, that was kind of the thing that brought me to the church, is I visited a bunch of churches and people weren't serious about their Christianity, and I wanted around people that were serious about their Christianity and living it out in their everyday lives. So I would probably address that in addition to that.
I remember that. I remember one of the things that you said really kind of sold you is the prayer meeting. That's very unusual. Should be, but it isn't. Yeah. Yeah. What would you say?
Well, I'll come and join us and we'll find out.
When you're just one thing, when you're talking to someone that's not a Christian, then they're not fitting.
Right, right. No, you say.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But when it's someone professing to be a Christian, wanting to know if they would be a good fit. Okay.
Well, we had people that come in about the age, and then they see the little bit, and then next. So, yeah, come. And then figure out. They'll figure it out. We're too weak for them. They don't like the building. They don't like the picture. They don't like, you know, something that they can leave. So they're used to that other church.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, people that.
Groups and all.
Yeah, so invite someone come and see.
Now, my question is, what are we going to look to get out of the church? If you're asking to be a, there could be a good fit, but if we're looking to get something out of the church, then it's not a church we give. We get stuff out of it, but we come to serve, and that's how we get. But if you're looking just to get something for yourself.
Yeah. Kind of like he was talking about with the people that want the Trinity Church, or the parents that want a nursery, and young people want all the fun activities. And,
We had a family that moved, you know, hours away just to be a part of this church, and ended up leaving in a sad way. Mm-hmm. So it's, yeah, my first thought was, you know, only time would tell. Obviously, you're talking to them, you know, you're professing, like Sean said, you know, you get past all that, you know, only time would tell. But I like Sean's response.
Anyone else? Cody?
I invited people from work to come to church. And the first thing they ask, of course, is where is it at? Tell them that's just where it stops.
I think a couple of things I would ask.
Yeah, if they're coming to church for the comforts, the air conditioning, the nice neighborhood, the good parking spot, you know, all this stuff. There's other churches like that that you would be more fitted. But if you're coming, you know, if you're coming to serve others and dig deep into the work in the scripture and learn more about Christ and fellowship with His body, then yeah, come to church. Come to this church.
I joke, but I would have been a member. I think it was 3 months earlier if the webpage was up to date and the outside was there. I remember too, like looking and just the Lord leading me here, and I was like, man, I don't even think people meet there, right? And then just one day, like the Lord wouldn't let up, and then just walking in, just like home. Yeah.
I guess I would ask them, what do you think church is? What is your expectation of, you know, going to church? And another thing I would ask is, like, what's your understanding of the gospel? Because kind of like what you said earlier, like, if they believe in works or they believe some type of heresy, I mean, that would make it clear. Like, if you continue to believe these things, like, you would not fit in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The gospel would be a must.
Like I said, if you continue to believe these things, I know we have to do a lot of things.
Yeah.
Come in and
find the truth. It's not that dead. You believe these things, it's not.
Okay. Yeah, continue.
Obviously, whoever the person is that asking the questions are going to, or the answers are going to vary some depending on them, but we desire to be a church that reflects the heavenly church, people from every tribe and tongue and nation, from every economic status, from every social status, from diverse, and the Spirit gives gifts to each member individually for the building up and for the edifying of the body, which means there must be diversity for the church to be healthy. So there's room for any believer to fit in that loves the Lord and loves His people. And that doesn't mean that it won't be without problems and challenges, but even that just helps to make us more like Christ. To learn to love people that rub us the wrong way. To serve others, for the educated and the ignorant and unlearned to be able to come together and worship the Lord together. What makes a person a fit is, do they have the gospel? Do they know Christ? And do they want to serve? Then nothing else matters. None of the other things matter. Whether they're young, single, old, married, everything in between, black, white, yellow, brown, green, purple. Some people, at least their hair is like that.
Don't
yeah.
give them an idea.
Tattooed. Non-tattooed. For tattoos, against tattoos. Worship. Love Christmas and celebrating Christmas, and cannot with a good conscience celebrate Christmas. Yeah, you can both be a good fit.
Don't forget Halloween.
Yeah.
Coming up.
Yeah, Halloween's coming up. Buy your candy. If you can, with a clear conscience, start buying candy, good candy, and be friendly, be open, be loving, meet your neighbors. Pray the Lord would open up doors. It's not about talking to every single person. It's pray and ask the Lord to open doors and just, you know, be open, introduce yourself when you can, and Yeah. And if you can't with the clear conscience, then pray the Lord would show us the truth and that we would repent. We're going to do that. Seriously, pray for one another. Yeah, and also, the Lord is the one that builds the church. He has each stone in place, so He's got to be the one that makes the fit right. But certainly there's no externals that prohibit it. It's a matter of, is the Lord in it, or is He going to take you and put you in another church? And that's where He would... So are you a member of this church? And how do you know from Scripture? That was the homework from last Q&A. And don't worry, I'm not going to start preaching now. We're done. Has what we've been going over been helping you to think about that? Helping to really maybe better understand what it means to be a member? Remember, aids the body, helps the body. You know, the foot is necessary for walking. And if you take the foot off, well, you can still get around, but not as well. But the foot is necessary for walking, but without the leg that it's attached to, it's just the foot. Without the eyes directing the way, then the foot doesn't know where to step and could injure itself. And without the head to direct, it's going to wander off path. So yeah, no public answers. But are you a member of this church? We have official membership. We don't have a role. We don't have a list. But this church is made up of members. And that's the question. Are you one? And if so, how do you know? Biblically, from Scripture. That's what we've been doing the past week, is looking at that in different aspects of it. Anyone else have anything?
We kind of do have this.
What's that?
We kind of do have this.
Yeah, what that? It's the unofficial list. Hey, you guys, if it wasn't that, it would be email or text. But, you know, is everyone on that list a member? Not necessarily.
You have 7 minutes.
The I Church. I shared it in the encouragement group, one of our official places. The Church, Why Bother? Really good. Even if you're not going to read it now, grab it, have it handy. I'm actually thinking about buying some and putting it back there.
On Amazon is going for $847.
I saw that.
But on
like free on Kindle.
Yeah, it's like $3 for the Kindle. This is a really good book.
Yeah. It's
I took a screenshot.
I don't know, it's like $12, $13.
It's $13 on Amazon.
Yeah.
I didn't find that option.
Yeah. No, there is. There's one of the links on Amazon. It's like,
push that button, you won't, but you got some other
ones. Yeah. And there is an updated one, it's just called The Church. I don't know anything about it. I'm assuming he may have expanded a little bit on it. It's the second edition, I guess, updated. What's that? Yeah. anyway, it's a really good, helpful helpful read. One that you can pick up from time to time and just kind of glance at. Yeah. Well, John MacArthur's the endorsement. John MacArthur, Bodhi Bakum, Joel Beakey, Jeff Thomas, and Jim Ellis are some of the ones that have written endorsements. Time to go. We're dismissed. Well, let's pray real quick. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness and kindness. Lord, we do thank you for the church. Lord, thank you for just the fellowship that we have with you and with each other. And Lord, just pray you would continue to be in our midst, to work among us, to grow us in grace and the knowledge of you, the knowledge of your Son, Lord, and just more like him, to be conformed to his image, Lord, and that we would grow in unity and love for each other, and Lord, also just have a desire to see our friends and neighbors and families and co-workers and strangers come to a knowledge of you as well. In Jesus' name.